I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. It's show number 591 in the original It's Your Business series. Mixed bag released in the last week, talking doom and gloom on the farms with the grain prices sagging. At the same time, our Secretary of Agriculture in South Dakota was talking like the glass was half full, not half empty. He was pointing to dairy cattle, increased herds, and for a good reason. We're going to be talking about that in depth. We're going to check in as well with the Starks from Holt McDowell, our Mitchell Plains Commerce team, all a part of our agribusiness show today. You'll also meet the first of our winners from the Sioux Empire Farm Show, MHEV trailers, perfect for horses and other livestock. But let's start with Lucas Lynch, our Secretary of Agriculture here in South Dakota, who with the governor made news last week. You were at the Farm Expo out in Fresno. Lucas, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill. Glad to be with you on this President's Day.
Yes, indeed. And they have not put another face on the Mount Rushmore foursome out there, but I guess we could kind of look and see. But it was an interesting time out in California, and it was interesting to see a Fresno TV station talking with the governor about the push that we're having on the California dairy members to consider starting herds in South Dakota, all at a time that feed for livestock is at a premium and drought conditions in California. Tell us the story.
Sure. Well, if you can imagine, when you're in the upper Great Plains here, there's a lot of things that we take for granted. A couple of those are really the low regulatory environment that we live in, a low tax environment, all the things that you and I take for granted. Californians, on the other hand, don't get to enjoy some of that. And really, that's where, as we've made a commitment as a state to developing and bringing home the dairy herd, essentially, back in the 60s, there were over 260,000 head of dairy cattle in the state of South Dakota. And over the years, that number has consistently dwindled, and we're now down around 95,000. But yet we have manufacturing capacity for twice that, Bill. And when you look at California, it's a logical place to go because of the expertise and the maturity of that industry in California and, frankly, the competition for acres. What used to be plentiful alfalfa hay and feedstuffs has now been converted to a lot of tree crops. Almonds are very much a solid product that they're raising out there. But when you plant trees, you know, that's not something you just take out every year. That's a long-term commitment. And so as those acres are taken away and converted from forage acres to tree acres, it's really putting pressure on the California dairymen. And on top of that, just their incredibly burdensome, overly regulated environment that they live in, that's really to South Dakota's advantage.
As I understand it, this is the third year in a row that South Dakota has been out talking with those people with dairy herds in California. But as I understand it, too, that you may be the third Secretary of Agriculture to be doing that, and it's been going back maybe even the Janklow days that far back. As you recall it?
You know, Tulare, the Tulare County and the Tulare Ag Show, it is quite an unprecedented gathering of folks globally. And, you know, in terms of our consistency of attending that show, I would tell you, fundamentally, it comes right back to people do business with people, Bill. Relationships don't magically happen in business, and the same goes for relationships on behalf of state governments. And so as we have made that investment of time and commitment to go out there and build relationships, it's really starting to yield some fruit. And why I say that is that we're spending time getting to know the right people, because our fellow South Dakotans want us, if we're going to be out there developing and working on behalf of economic development, they really want us to be bringing home top-notch players to our state. And the dairy families that we've been introduced to out there, and they truly are families, many of them send their children to the Midwest for education. Some of them have attended Dort College in northwestern Iowa. Some of them have married families in this area. So the connection is that we're not only looking for the right talent, but we're looking for the right cultural fit for our state as well. I mean, people who really embrace the values of South Dakota and bring in a lot of added value to our state. That's what we're spending time on. And 3 years in a row, the quality of the meetings this third year, I can tell you, having been there on the first trip and now the third trip, Walt Bones, my predecessor, went on the second trip. But having been there now twice to see those families myself, I can tell the quality of our meetings have increased significantly.
Marv Post is an eminent farmer as far as South Dakota is concerned. He heads up a dairy association, and he was one of those that was on this trip. Marv, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am, Bill.
Well, we got you and Lucas tied together, and we're going to talk a little bit about this. From your end of it, you were pretty excited about some of your face-to-face meetings, and Lucas just mentioned business-to-business type impact. Holstein's at fall as well. So tell us what you saw and why it is so important to South Dakota be out there looking to maybe do more with our herds here.
First of all, good morning, Secretary and Bill and those listeners. Yeah, it's important for us as dairy farmers here in South Dakota because, as Lucas alluded to, our business was dwindling. We were losing cows. We were losing infrastructure. And when you lose the processing ability for your milk, you encounter all kinds of expenses. And so everything spirals down. And it was quite a few years ago that they decided that we needed to save that industry in this state and promote it and let it develop. And thus the processing came. And we've come back on our number of cows quite a bit. But that's the other thing we need to do is we need to continue to grow our herd as processing demands increase. And now with the Bell Brands cheese plant in Brookings and going to go online hopefully this summer. And so we need the production. And so when we go out, and I don't go out as part of the state, I go out because of the need for that production to be here in South Dakota and the economic growth that it does. And but you visit with these people, they're struggling. Their milk price isn't as good as ours. Feed costs, they feed, you'd be surprised what they can feed them cows and get milk from almond hulls and citrus byproducts. Their feed efficiency is tremendous, and they have the numbers because they've had to be very slim and very productive in order to stay in business there. So, but these people are really excited. They're amazed the fact that you can go to the South Dakota booth and the Tulare Dairy Show, and actually visit with the governor of South Dakota and the Secretary of Ag, Lucas, and other state officials. And so as this time, the third time now, I was out there last year also, and there is an interest. There's a lot of visits at the booth, and in that farm credit tent, people come looking for the South Dakota booth. And it's not that South Dakota's the only one there. You know, North Dakota's there, Nebraska's there, Iowa's there, many of the other states are there also.
Well, it makes sense to me. One thing that Lucas and I did talk about was that to the people in California, it shows that ag is still the number one industry in South Dakota.
Well, yeah. And you know, Tulare, that county is a huge county, and their production of all kinds of products, I mean, oranges and almonds and olives, you name it, they make it. Their tomatoes, they grow it all. So a tremendous agricultural county in California, but everything is irrigated. I mean, there's no water. They don't grow anything if they don't have water. And right now, of course, with the drought and the irrigation that the water demands, and whether they get cut off and don't get any water you got to feed those cows. So there's a lot of things that go into play if you're looking at a dairy development and dairy herd.
Lucas, advantages that South Dakota has that they bring to the table with those people in California?
Well, I think right away one of the things that they recognize as value, and I alluded to it as being something we take for granted, but even the access to our state officials. You know, in comparison, California's governor may have spent just a few minutes, and I really do mean that. I think they pulled in the front gate, did a photo op, and they pulled out. And the folks on the ground there couldn't believe the fact that the governor of our state would spend, you know, 2 days on the ground out there visiting with not only the dairymen and the producers that are in attendance, but also a lot of the other vendors that are there and learning about other ways of agriculture and just valuing the fact that ag is our number one industry. And in comparison, California has obviously the same situation. Agriculture is a major industry, and if not their number one industry, but we haven't lost track of where our ground is, or where our communities and our economy is grounded, and that's in food production. And so the fact is that political stability of our state, the fact that we're going to embrace agriculture and not be in the way of ag, but clearing the way for ag. And that's really been the focus for us. Also, it's been one where we're working with our producers in permitting capacity, for example. You know, sometimes we think it takes a little bit to get a permit in our state, but really, it, in comparison to other states, it's like speed of lightning. Because they take years. In fact, it's been years since there's been a permitted dairy in California. And because of these relationships that have been building, this last year we enjoyed a growth of 15,000 head of permitted capacity in our state. And we had added another 3,500 head of cattle. And so that permitted capacity, and some of that's from within our state's growth, but also some of that is from the recruiting effort that we've been having here on behalf of the state. And so that political stability is a big part of it, the fact that we've got a legislative body that gets it and supports agriculture, and the fact that our main streets in South Dakota understand the importance of ag and ag development, whether you're talking about a Sioux Falls, a Watertown, a Brookings, but also whether you're talking about our rural communities. When you start getting out to that of a Lake Norton or a Millbank, or you look at far south to Beersford in the Hall, Iowa area, all of that milk shed that is in our central part of our Midwest affects all of our rural communities. Because when that cheese producer pays for that milk, 85% of that manufacturer's cost is in milk procurement. Again, 85% of that manufacturer's cost goes right to the farmer for that milk check. And over half of that milk check gets spent to the local community in terms of feed procurement. And Marv, you know that as well as anybody. When you're talking about the ripple effect and the economies of scale that go along with dairy and dairy development, that's the stuff that really brings home the value. And those are the things that California dairies, or any dairies for that matter, can look to South Dakota for: stability in the marketplace, good value, and the fact that we understand and embrace animal agriculture in our state.
You agree, Marv?
Oh, for sure. Yes, for sure. And, you know, if you want to discuss the fact that, you know, maybe not everybody is a large dairy, and that's perfectly okay, but, you know, my home dairy is a 60-cow dairy. But the fact that that processing is there, those veterinarians are there, the milk equipment people are there, it you know, just helps the whole infrastructure so that we have that here, and we have the milk trucks running by our place to pick our milk up and you know, for freight. And so everything adds as you go, and so it's good for the entire dairy industry in South Dakota. And then the jobs that it brings, and the infrastructure, the tax structure, sales and excise tax to the state, everything it builds and grows with economic development.
Gentlemen, we appreciate you taking time. Our post, you're president of what association?
President of the South Dakota Dairy Producers, which is really the entire dairy organization. That's not just the producers, it's also the related industries, your processors, your milk equipment, your nutritionists, your veterinarians. It includes a dairy industry in South Dakota. The name was South Dakota Dairy Producers, and that's been up and going for about 5 years now.
Marv Post, appreciate you. Lucas Lynch, it's nice to have you guys be back out there, and it could make us even a better number one as far as an industry in the state in years to come. We appreciate you both being in California and with us on this Monday.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Marv.
Thank you, Lucas.
All right, we're going to check in with our Midwest Communication Farm Director, Rick Shields. We had a lot of discussion this morning about the dairy side of it, and as you can tell, it's a big business in South Dakota.
Yeah, dairy certainly is, as you were bringing out how big a player California is that. You know, and listening to South Dakota's reaction and travels out west, it kind of reminded me of what was happening in the Lone Star State where I was about 15 to 20 years ago when then Ag Secretary Rick Perry was doing somewhat similar thing, heading to California, to the Central Valley, to Horry County, and all like that, trying to get some relocation of dairies into West Texas, of all places. People say, where? And that has worked out fairly well for them. I keep wondering about, though, with the drought of recent years there, just the latest update, that state is now number 5 in production. South Dakota not in the top 10 as yet, but hey, maybe that will change here shortly. We shall see.
Rick, breaking news means that we don't have farm bills to kick around anymore.
It certainly does not, but we do have some production figures we're going to be watching, especially the effect now as the propane shortage starts to ease in the upper Midwest. We do have, again, to keep out up to date on the latest cold Arctic outbreaks. And maybe some problems with grain transportation down the road. So far, the river traffic seems to be okay in the central U.S., down to one lane, they tell us, in some places. But definitely, it looks like maybe some things to keep tabs of on that. The president just the other day pledging $100 million in drought aid to California. I noticed kind of related to that topic. And as far as foreign competition is concerned, we'll watch what's happening in Brazil. They've had a real great season up to now, but in the last couple of weeks or so, they've been kind of drying out down there in South America, them and also next-door neighbors over in Argentina.
Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director, thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
As always, we appreciate it here. You take care and try to stay warmer, huh?
We'll do our best. We're going to check some reaction from businesses in South Dakota about what the pitches were and about farm income in 2014. All a part of It's Your Agribusiness Show. Welcome back to It's Your Agribusiness. Travis and Roger Starks, Holt McDowell, are the iGrow.org sponsors for our It's Your Agribusiness Show. Yes, indeed. The Batman team is in the building. You were just saying, as we listened to the talk about pitching dairy to our friends in California to maybe have a separate operation in South Dakota, you guys do a lot of business in California.
We do. We do a lot of business with commercial beekeepers, and commercial beekeepers, a lot of them live in California in the wintertime, and we have a lot, and I mean a lot of business in California. And not only is it difficult for them to do business there, but it's difficult for us. I think the story I told you was the guy had a building fire in Westmoreland, California, and it's right down on the Mexican border in the desert, and it took him a year to get a building permit to build the exact same building on the same footprint. So Lucas wasn't kidding when he said they'd drive people crazy. And we had another one that wanted to put windows in a building and finally just gave up. So
it's one of those things that you kind of look at what you have, and what we're able to talk to a lot of our clients about was being in an area where there's a lot of commercial retail space. So instead of rebuilding a lot of their buildings, they'll just go buy another one that's been sitting vacant for a while. So that seems to be the way that we have to operate in California.
Yeah, California is full of despair and prosperity, and it seems like the despair seems to be wider spread than the prosperity at times.
We are talking in this segment a little bit about the dairy side of it that we just heard from Marv Post and Lucas Lynch about. But there was also some numbers out last week which showed that the grain prices, soybean and corn, were going to be a big drain this year. What are you hearing?
Everybody's concerned. I mean, if you were making $100,000 this year and next year you're going to make $75,000, yeah, you're going to have despair. But you know, realistically, I think people just have to do things maybe a little different. I don't know. The really good times last as long as the really bad times in almost everything. So we just have to find that happy medium. And, I mean, a gold mine, $7 corn was a gold mine. But there is a, you know, dairies are getting feed costs are less with the price of corn being less. I see that feeder cattle now are at an all-time high, so obviously they're doing okay. And people are concerned, and people, farmers will do it. I have all the confidence in the world that we're not going to see a 1980s mass auction foreclosure thing. I think farmers are much better businessmen than they've ever been. I think that they can make it work, and they do.
Yeah, and to hit on that a little bit, you find those areas where people are concerned not being able to make it on $4 a bushel corn. They can't pay their costs, they can't pay their expenses, what have you. But then you find industries where they will benefit from a correction in the markets, whether it's ethanol, whether it's feed manufacturing, you name it. So, I mean, with some difficulties maybe in pricing, you might see another industry take off a little bit. So it's a cycle. It's, you know, it's one of those things you deal with.
Holt University, why is that important? They haven't won a basketball game in years.
I haven't won one.
We don't even have a scholarship, to be honest with you. Our ski team is pretty good, though. We've put together some experts in different fields, whether it's contract, whether it's agronomy, whether it's health insurance or life insurance and succession planning, all of those things. We try and bring those people into an area where our clients can come in and glean their knowledge, whether it's in person, whether it's through a webinar. You go to our website at holtmcdowell.com, and we'll have a schedule laid out for you. We usually have something going every week, maybe sometimes twice a week if they're really
popular. I think March 5th we have a webinar through Continental Western Insurance on misapplication.
Yep.
And the perils and all the costs of misapplication.
And some of the other things that we're trying to bring in, we're working close, working on a partnership with Terracon regarding some of those rules and regulations as it pertains to chemical spills or the EPA issues. So,
your spill prevention.
Yep.
All those things. And
hazmat training.
Phase one. Yep. So if you're going to buy a new piece of property, you should get a phase one done. And we're trying to stay ahead of the EPA and not reacting to the EPA. And
good idea.
So
yeah,
we're trying to jump out ahead of them and trying to tell everybody you should get this done. And when they come to see you, and the DOT, they're the next persons. I mean, I can see you shaking your finger at me.
Oh, no, I wouldn't shake my finger at you. There's two of you.
Here's one thing I want to, going back to the dairy deal. If you don't think things like this are impactful, drive up Highway 81 and get north of Highway 28 and take a look off to the east and look at this dairy. And the thing, I sat there and watched it all summer, and they expanded, and they had dirt guys moving, they had cement guys doing stuff, they had building people doing it. So you had all those salaries, you had all that done. And then the county, I'm sure, is going to come in and say, yo, it's this much for taxes because this is going to be your taxes. And in the milk business, you get a check not once a year, but either bi-monthly or monthly. So they're a cash flow business. And talk about putting money into the community. They put money into the community constantly, too. So they're a great addition. And if we could get to 300,000 cows, I think that would be a great number for us.
And you look at the Laughing Cow plant up in Brookings and how that's going to impact the university and how they're going to feed off each other. They're going to bring industry into this state. That's very exciting.
And let's not forget DeVisco over in Lake Norton. It's another facility that's just a little ways away. So we have a hub of things right around that Brookings area. So that's going to be the hub, and then the spokes will go out. You go over by Elkton, and oh, my heavens, there's stuff everywhere. And
go Jacks.
Yeah.
There you go.
I see him looking at the clock. So
the Starks. We're moving right along, but we'll talk soon. You guys are going to be hitting the road, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're going to go hit the slopes, you know, enjoy the rest of this holiday.
I'll bet South Cliff Avenue.
There you go. When we come back, we'll talk with some other reaction this morning and the South Dakota cattlemen pushing Feeding South Dakota. It's your agribusiness show. We've been talking, taking some of the California dairy herd, bringing them to South Dakota. We've been talking about grain prices. But we need some reaction from over in Mitchell. Roger DeRoshi, Plains Commerce Bank, has joined us. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Bill, and good morning to the listeners on a good old happy President's Day.
There you go. How do you weigh in on the discussion on the grain prices as they are today? Will there be a real problem in 2014, or do you think weather's going to change some other things and maybe not as bad as been printed?
Well, Bill, you know, the good Lord is the only one that really knows that, but what we're visiting with our producers is about is coming up next is a major decision, and that's with their crop insurance as far as the level of coverage and then the risk that they want to take. But before that, I think the producers need to look at the crop budgets and their input cost and kind of do some business approach to this and think about what they need to do and then relate that to their crop insurance coverage needs.
So the farmers you talk to, what are they thinking?
Well, they're a little bit scared about fall prices coming up, but, you know, it's one of those deals that you got to set a plan in force and react to that plan as the markets react to you.
Plains Commerce is developing the Mitchell area. Plains Commerce not only has a couple of locations in Sioux Falls, but you're spread pretty well across South Dakota.
Yeah, we are, Bill. I think a little-known fact that we started in Hoban, South Dakota, and in the 60s, the DeRouchies and the Hageman families got together and started what's called the Hoban Cheese Factory at that time. And then in the 90s or 2000s, I think they sold that to AMPI, but they're very strong in the dairy business back at that time. And now as the no-till farming has taken over, it's extremely productive crop ground, and there's a lot of livestock up in that area also. But we also have banks in Watertown, Aberdeen, Sioux Falls, Condi, and a loan production office in Mitchell.
So what difference are you going to make in the Mitchell area?
Well, we're going to sit down with our producers and visit with them about their borrowing needs, match up our expertise that Luke has in the lending area and that I have in the farm management area, and try and put a plan together for those producers for them to be successful.
So if people need more information, whether at Mitchell or other places across South Dakota about Plains, how do they reach you?
Well, the easiest way for everybody would go online and type in plainscommerce.com, and that'll get you the website. And then you can correspond with the Plains Commerce Bank that's closest to your area. If you're in the Mitchell area, you can call us at 996-1102, or you can stop in, have a cup of coffee, and visit with us at 1200 South Burr Street.
I'm going to have to introduce you now as Roger from the Cheese DeRouchy family out of Hoven. How's that sound?
Sounds like a winner. My family had been in the dairy business for about 50 years, and the economics kind of asked the small producer to step aside and use other venture and capital to become involved with agriculture as it is today.
Roger, we appreciate your time this morning, and know that you guys are going to do very well over in Mitchell.
Thank you, Bill.
Matt Gasson in our studios this morning. The news late last week, good for Feeding South Dakota, as the South Dakota Cattlemen's Foundation pushed their support with a concert June 14th at the Sioux Falls Arena. Matt, first of its kind, correct?
Yes, it is, for the Cattlemen's Association anyway, Bill. It's a first of their kind. It's kind of being modeled after a like event that happens in Nebraska. And so the cattlemen decided to go ahead and create this foundation, and part of the work of the foundation was to have an annual gala event.
So what's it going to be like? What are you going to be able to do? How many people are you going to be able to actually take care of because of the fact that the Cattlemen's Foundation has come together?
Well, I can tell you the goal of the Cattlemen's Foundation for this event is $100,000. And, you know, that's a pretty lofty goal, but it's a goal that they are committed to trying to make happen. And so, you know, if that comes to fruition, which we're really hoping it will, that's going to provide us an opportunity to provide, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of more pounds of food to use in our fight against hunger and to help us, you know, as we try to reach that 100,000 plus individuals across the state of South Dakota that need food assistance every year.
Matt Gasson. Now, if there are other groups that would like to be a part of this, do their own fundraising event, how do they reach you with Feeding South Dakota?
Well, there again, you can go to our website at feedingsouthdakota.org, and from that site, you know, it'll get you all the information that you need about not only our programs, but how you can donate, you know, how you can volunteer your time at any one of our three locations, be that in Sioux Falls, Pier, or Rapid City. And so phone numbers and contact information is all right there.
If you haven't been a part of the Feeding South Dakota, you need to go out and get your hands dirty. Get involved with some of this project. Matt, you guys do a fabulous job.
Well, thank you, Bill. We couldn't do it without support of a lot of people that believe in the work that we do.
You're good folks. We appreciate you being with us this
Thanks.
Morning. Just a month ago at the Sioux Empire Farm Show, we had a drawing for those that registered to appear on the It's Your Agribusiness Show. Obviously, you had to be a business, and the first winner is actually joining us this morning. Garrett Davis, tell us about your business.
Glad to be on the show this morning. Factory sales rep for MHEB. We're an all-aluminum manufacturing company. Very old in the industry, but actually new to this side of South Dakota. Got a new location that we just put up just next to the Sioux Falls Regional Livestock Barn down by Worthing.
Well, so when we start talking about this, those people that are sitting out there saying, well, what kind of trailers do you have? What kind of equipment can you custom build? What can you do?
Exactly, yep. What we pride ourselves on building is all aluminum trailer that caters to the commercial cattleman, commercial livestock hauler. We build goosenecks, semi-pots, hog straight deck trailers. And we also carry a line of aluminum truck bodies, as well as equipment-type trailers. And we're also a Timpty dealer as well for grain hoppers.
Kind of questions that you expect to hear from new prospective customers?
Like I said, the biggest challenge that we actually have right now is just trying to get our name out there. Like I said, we've been manufacturing for over 75 years. We're actually based out of Pennsylvania originally. And as time moved on, we opened up a manufacturing location in Ohio. And then our closest manufacturing location is in Story City, Iowa. So a lot of it's just getting our name out there that we, have been out in the industry. And like you mentioned, building custom trailers is definitely something that we really get into. And also we carry a large line of just stock trailers for, just a farmer rancher type.
Are you bullish on South Dakota? Why did you pick the I-29 corridor?
There's livestock, agriculture is definitely the industry out here, and that's the type of guy that we really cater to when we build a stock trailer.
All right, so for people that don't know about you, tell them again where you are, what you do.
We are located directly next to the Sioux Falls Regional Livestock Barn, down by Canton and Worthing, off of Exit 62 on Highway 18 East. If guys want to just check out our website, it's www.mheby.com, or they can call into our office, 877-667-0293.
We know we have a lot of listeners out there that do need trailers, and they need people that are bullish on what happens here in the great part of South Dakota, our neighboring states as well. And Garrett Davis, nice to have you go from just being across the way when we did our live shows out there on Wednesday and Friday to right here in the studio. You guys were good-looking trailers, I will tell you that.
Thanks a bunch. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. Glad to have you here. When we come back, we're going to get the loan quote of the morning. We're going to also go to Nashville, Tennessee, talk with a young lady that won a $10,000 scholarship, all because of a turkey group. Believe it or not, she's now at Augustana. It may be President's Day, but our senior loan officer, senior president of sorts, Craig Marquardt at Vanna Mortgage, is joining the discussion this morning. Craig, appreciate you taking time on a holiday to be with us.
Good morning, Bill. I see you were visiting with my fraternity brother, Lucas Lynch, earlier this morning.
We were. Great discussion about him in California trying to bring some dairy cattle to our great state.
Well, I have a ton of respect for him, and he's very talented.
Well, I will make sure that he hears that. Now, do you have a loan snapshot that we can be proud of this morning?
Well, the bond market is closed today officially, just like the stock market is. And last week, we saw the mortgage rates at their highest level that we've seen in the past 2 weeks. But today, since I don't necessarily have a rate to quote, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that if you were looking at locking your rate tomorrow morning, you could get, on a conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate, you could get 4.375% with an APR of 4.569%. But, of course, rates are always subject to change based on the current market conditions as well as specific loan programs and the individual borrower's details.
Contact information for you and the good folks over at Advana?
Over at 275-2777. They can give us a call, and any one of us can help them out with setting up an appointment to take an application or even talk about interest rates and loan payments.
Craig Marquardt, Advana Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. Thanks for joining us on President's Day.
Thanks, Bill.
Liz Renner is from my part of the world, and she is now a student at Augustana College. And she is talking to us this morning out of Nashville, Tennessee. Liz, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
You've got so much energy, but you always have had. And you you actually won a $10,000 scholarship. Tell us about that and how it parlayed into Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, it was an honor that Mossy Oak gave me this $10,000 scholarship through the National Wild Turkey Federation. And it was really an honor to go and be able to thank my sponsors in person in Nashville. And it's just been a great experience here. I've met so many wildlife professionals from federal agencies, and I've gotten some internship offers. So it's been really exciting here.
The wildlife side of it is where you have a little conservation background. And there's been some talk, too, from what Scott Nelson was telling me, that they're going to do you briefing on the farm bill, some other farm things this week.
Right, right. What the NWTF is really talking about right now is the Voluntary Public Access Habitat Incentive Program in the farm bill, because it's opening up private land to public hunting, especially in states like South Dakota. So it's going to be generate revenue for our economy, and it's going to be a great thing.
Well, it's been a good trip for you. You have represented us well. You always have. And even the fact that you know Scott Nelson, we won't hold that against you.
Yeah.
Will you do this for us? We do not have a lot of time, and you are headed right back to class in just a couple of minutes. Will you join us here in the next couple of weeks, and we can really talk a little bit further about the conservation side, what you learned, and how important it is that our young people get out and represent South Dakota and themselves well?
I'd love to.
We will do that. And I apologize that we didn't have more time this morning.
That's totally fine. I've got to go to class now.
I know you do. Thank you. And that's one thing that Liz Renner would do. She's calling us from Nashville. She was thanking the people that gave her a $10,000 scholarship for the conservation side, what she knows on the farm side. She lives, I think it's in Crooks. Russ Hoovendick, directionalmotivation.com, deployment to employment. We've had a busy morning this morning, and we certainly have talked a lot of agriculture. Is that one of the areas that you have an interest in as an executive recruiter?
I think we all have an interest in South Dakota, Bill, in whatever fashion. And we're always looking for ways to of course, improve the life that we have out there. You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that we give scholarships as well through the Directional Motivation website.
So how would somebody qualify for that, Russ?
They need to go on the site, just apply. And our scholarships are a little bit different because Directional Motivation was founded with the idea of just helping people progress in their lives, whether they're taking a Dale Carnegie course or something like that. We will set up a scholarship that way. Just whatever they want to do is better themselves and make themselves more valuable.
Deployment to Employment has been a book that we've talked back the last couple of shows with you on, with veterans from around the country that you've actually helped. And it should be an indication to those veterans that are sitting out there that you really can provide some support.
Well, we certainly have had a lot of success to this point. 40% of the placements that I made personally last year within companies in the Fortune 500 and others were veterans. And so we're really proud of the fact that we were able to do that when you figure that veterans comprise about 1% to 2% of the population, and 40% of our placements were veterans. So we're very much committed to that effort.
The other thing we want to push, too, is that with the fact that you've got this book, you're speaking to people all over the country, and South Dakota is pushing to do something about jobs, businesses should be signing on, putting their name on this book.
You know, it really only makes sense, you know, to go ahead and put the put their advertising showing that they're sponsoring and they support the military effort as well, and the veterans themselves, of course, and put that advertising in the front of the book, and it'll go a long ways in helping veterans and making a difference, but also sending the right signal, you know, to the veteran community.
You mentioned agriculture in this hour. We talked a lot about the dairy side of it, trying to bring more dairy herds here. We have a lot of advantages in South Dakota with our tax base, with the fact that agriculture is number one. And it's a nice setup for a guy that's an executive recruiter to be able to say, we do things a little different here in the upper Midwest.
Yeah, we do, and it's really exciting. I think what's happening in South Dakota with regards to the ag movement is really exciting. Of course, our company, a lot of what our focus is food and beverage manufacturing, and so we are working with dairy manufacturers in terms of processors and that type of thing. And so it's pretty exciting to see what's going on now.
Russ Huvendick, people need more information. How do they reach you?
Sure. They can give us a ring at 605-362-8176 by extensions 101, or they can go to clientstaffingsolutions.com.
Russ, we appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.
A couple of people we did not get on the show this morning, Joe Cassidy, Animal Science Department Head at SDSU. We're going to talk with him hopefully next week. We'll talk a little bit more about the dairy herds. We'll talk as well about the Farm Bill. Joe has a good understanding on that. And we still have a great story that as we get a little warmer, we're going to talk about a very unique planter that had a little growth down in the Beresford area. And next Monday's show, we will have the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, who will be joining us. And we'll talk with him about the needs in South Dakota and agriculture all over the country. Rev, we appreciate you being a part of it today. It was nice for you to see Matt Gasson because you have an event for him in August.
Yeah, Jam Against Hunger is coming up at the end of August again this summer.
Another sign that spring is not far away.
Bring it on, Bill.
We thank all of our folks for listening today. Our time's up. Thank you for yours.